Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Welcome back. It's crossover time, so that means we're heading out to Splash, adjacent to Chase Center, where we're joined by Mark Willard and Dan
Dibley. They look so serious.
They really do. They look totally locked in, and I'm hearing a little echo, but that's fine. I'll keep going. Hey, did you guys see the shirts the Valkyrie sent us?
Jerseys.
Check them out, guys.
Oh,
with the guru on the back.
Oh, look at you guys.
Yeah.
Wait, Steiny, why do you have my favorite number? That's my favorite number.
Number 10?
Yeah, that's my number.
I didn't
know
that.
That's my number. Yeah.
Willard, why is it 10, though? You got to tell us the meaning.
There's a bunch of reasons, but it started. Yeah, it started with Matt Williams, because I played third base in high school.
Wow.
And Matt Williams, who oscillated, it was an oscillation sensation.
Yeah, it's an early buck.
With both numbers 9 and 10. But it started with Matt Williams, because I wanted to wear his number, because I was playing third base over at San Mateo High School. And then,
and then
Pearl Jam came out with their first studio album, and it was titled 10, which is actually named after Mookie Blaylock, who wore number 10.
Well,
and I dug all of that
knowledge.
Stuff, too. And yeah, and then and then it just became my thing. That's it. My number's 10. But, Steiny, you could borrow it for the Valks.
Appreciate
it. Thank you so
and
much.
And funny, Goo, because you are rocking my number, and it's not a number I chose, but it's the number I was assigned, because on
tight.
Every single team that I ever was on, I was the smallest member of the team. And, you know, back in the day, your baseball uniforms, they'd have, like, numbers 1, 2, and 3 would be your smalls, and then 4, 5, 6 mediums, and then you get up to the bigger numbers and the bigger jerseys. And so, as the most diminutive, Steiny, I was rocking number 1 in every baseball uniform that I ever had. So there you go.
Man, that's awesome, Dibs. I got to say this, because, Willard, I got to Bart yesterday, and I hurt because you said something to me as the crossover ended. You said, we didn't even get to Jake Moody, and I know it's cut down day.
Right.
He didn't get cut. But just you two tell me, and we've been having some fun, but I mean this. I think Jake Moody has a leg. I think we all know that. But when the head coach says, jokingly, I don't talk to kickers, I'm telling Steiny, maybe if you finesse that relationship, had him come over for some lasagna from the missus, throw on some Little Wayne, maybe you might get better results before you throw him away. Am I coming from Disneyland on that assessment, or is there something there? Because I feel like there could be something there.
Can I go first on this one? Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
Number 10.
I went on a long walk today because I ferried into work, so I got to walk the entire Embarcadero down here to Splash and Thrive City. So I heard the whole thing. I heard the whole thing, Guru. AirPods in, and I listened. And I want to start by saying this. You know that when you two debate, you know that I want to be on your side, right? Do you know that? I just want you to know that I want to agree with you. But sometimes I can't. Guru. The coaches have a job during the game. And by the way, you totally missed the first part of Kyle's quote, which is before he says, I don't talk to kickers, he says, I don't talk to the guys. I don't talk to the guys. Do you ever see Kyle, like, nose to nose very often with a player during a game, or his nose in that sheet?
Yeah. Like, real quick, I didn't mean during the game. During the week. I'm sorry. Never during the game.
I don't think he meant in that quote that he gives them the silent treatment around the clock all week long. But he's got a job to do, and it's not to invite people over for dinner or
have
be their
a
therapist or anything. I'm sure, yes, they have a relationship, but like this is how most, if not all, head coaches in the NFL are. We talked about this once before a few weeks ago, and I mentioned to you, like, Bill Walsh wouldn't even let the players come near him. He stayed all the way across the practice field. Like, I don't know, man. Yeah, no, I take nothing from Kyle Shanahan saying I don't talk to kickers.
How about you, Dibs?
I think that he doesn't really talk to anyone during the game. He talks to that laminated play sheet, and he talks to his assistant offensive coordinator and the quarterback coach, and then he looks at the tablet when the defense is out there, and sometimes he's not even watching what the defense is doing because he's so engrossed in the tablet and what's to come next. And as far as Moody goes, he gets during the week, you've got a special teams coach who was not thrilled, apparently, when he kicked the ball out of bounds in the third preseason game. So when they all get together and you go through a game, and if Jake Moody struggles and it costs you a game, Brent Bowyer is going to be first to knock on Kyle's door and say, yo, we're going to have to find another kicker because I can't live like this. But Jake Moody gets a shot. He doesn't get a lot of shots. He might be sitting there with an 0-2 count. And, you know, one bad week that cost him a game, or, you know, one bad kickoff that cost you field position that maybe cost you 7 points. These are the things that he has to deal with. And if his dauber's down, too bad. Mm. If his confidence is shaken, also too bad. You're a pro. You were drafted in the third round. It's your third year. Your team can't afford to give away 3 points at a time. So he's got to perform.
Mm. Yeah, I just wonder how it's all going to play out. And
well, you got to let it play out, as you know.
You absolutely do, Dibs. You absolutely must. And then, of course,
it was an old Chris Townie.
I got it.
But you know, I mean, we can go through the scenarios. They're in a tight game, and he misses one, or they're in a blowout. They're winning by 3 touchdowns, and he misses. So does it matter? What's going to be? I don't know. It's going to be dicey, and it's going to be monitored. And I don't like the way it's starting out. You know what
I
mean?
I agree with you. There's already, and Grandy, we were all chatting about this before our show yesterday. He was talking about kind of not liking where the relationship is between Moody and the fans already. And so if you're in a preseason game and you're being booed as you come out to kick an extra point, not a good starting point. Like, the year hasn't even started. Moody is seeing therapists, and now he's being booed by his home crowd in games that don't count. Stein. Not good. Well, this is not a good base for the relationship.
Well, and I got to believe that Kyle knows. Like, I think this is one of those things that we will talk about a lot, and we have today. But I think in Kyle's mind, he doesn't give this much thought at all. It's like, he misses kicks, he's gone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
Like, oh, hey, I hope Moody's has a good. No, it's like, he either makes kicks early or he's in trouble.
So do you three, is it fair to say you three disagree with him being on the 50? Like, if you feel that way and it's this fickle, he shouldn't be your kicker, guys.
No, that's the nature of the position, though, is the majority of these kickers are in a fickle spot. Unless you're on a team that's not very good. And even at that, you could be a guy who gets run. And I think about Younghoe Koo, who he started with, did he start with the Falcons?
Or
did
he start? That's where he is now.
I think he started with the Chargers then. Wherever he started,
you might be right.
He was god-awful, and he was a guy who was drafted, and he was a guy they had high hopes on, and he really struggled. He got cut. He made some adjustments, and now he's one of the better kickers in the league. I don't know if he even missed a PAT last year. I was looking at all the numbers yesterday, but he went through, and he has resurrected his career. So that's the nature of the gig.
Started with the Chargers in 2017, had to go play for the Atlanta Legends, whatever the hell that is.
Wow.
Followed by
kicked well there.
Off-season with the Patriots, then landed with the Falcons, and yeah, now he's one of the main dudes. It's also his first time playing for a dome team, which I think changes life for a kicker.
Absolutely. And, you know, with Moody and Dustin Hopkins, we know, got released today, so there's another kicker who is, at least for now, out on the market. And
Cleveland.
Greg Joseph is still available. I know you guys were playing the Matt Barrow sound from yesterday, so there's really no rush to make a move now. You give the guy a chance. Kyle loves the leg. He's got a big leg, and you spent draft capital on him. Here's another thing, though, Steiny, about the nuance, and I know you love nuance, but let's say the Niners are up 14 with 6 minutes to go, and he misses a kick. And because of that miss, now the first team defense has to go back out there. And God forbid something happens, you know, because now it's a 2-score game. It's not a 3-score game. And those are the little things that, if you're Shanahan and Saleh, you're thinking, all right, Jake, make the kick. We're up 17. We can give Bosa a rest. Fred never rests, but you get my drift about, you know, maybe, you know, bringing in some of the younger guys, knowing that you're up by 3 scores, and a miss like that could be just as deleterious or damaging as a kick that might be a winner or a loser.
Yeah, that's
just my thoughts.
That's an interesting point. You know, the funny thing is probably of all the circumstances we're trying to imagine with Moody and what's going to happen, it'll be something that we haven't even thought of. You know what I mean? Yeah. It'll be like, I don't know. But the other thing about Moody that I was thinking is is Kyle's lack of confidence in him? If he had, like, how do you start the season in terms of when are you going to go for it in their 30-ish? When are you not going to go for it in their 30-ish? Is it going to be condition related? Does it don't matter? I know they matter all the time, but I wonder if he's got a number that he's going to let him try or be dictated by the game, all that kind of stuff.
I mean, like, to me, you have to, if you're going to keep him, then you have to start the season as a clean slate.
Yeah, man.
You have to. You, like, so in other words, if you're starting the season and you're like, it's fourth and four, this would be a 54-yarder, but our kicker sucks, so let's go for it. If that's how you feel,
terrible.
Move on.
Yeah, no
and
doubt.
A lot of us feel that way, but he doesn't. The Niners don't. So to me, you got to go clean slate, and you have to show normal confidence in him and do what you would normally do in a perfect world. And if he's unable to meet that moment, then you move on. That's how Barrows ended his conversation with us yesterday about Jake Moody. He's on thinner ice than they're making it sound
wow.
like.
Man.
But I think you got to give him a shot to be a regular kicker, don't you?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think you have to absolutely do that. The other, I'll do this now. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Yeah, the one thing that I agree with you on with Barrows is I think he is on really, really thin ice. And then Barrow said something later that I kind of disagree with, and that is, if Moody misses two kicks in week one, and they win 28-6, I think they're going to cut him anyway. You know what I mean? Like, just because they win and they're getting away with missed kicks, I kind of think that might not matter. It's just going to be, you need to make kicks regardless.
Depends on the nature of those kicks, but I don't think you're patently wrong. If it's a 57-yarder at the end of the second quarter and it's a miss, all right, fine. If it's a couple of chippies, then you have a different conversation. And also how they look, because Mark has been rightly fixated on the 27-yard snap hook, to use a golf term, but it went in.
The extra point the following week did not.
Oh, man.
And I loved what Mason Crosby said to us yesterday when we asked him about, like, if you miss an extra point and the snap's good, the hold's good, the blocking is good, and you just, you miss it kind of badly, you miss it by 5 yards, Mason's like, that should not happen. And that's exactly what happened on Saturday. Mm.
Yeah, that was nasty work by him, kicking out of bounds, and yikes. Hey, I got to say this to you guys. I come to work every day, and then when I leave, as soon as I touch down off the 10th floor, I know I'm different, but I still love myself. But you sent the nugget, Willard, about Robinson and the league office, and I got lightweight excited, like, could he slip through the cracks? He didn't, so he's out 3 games, and I bring this up, and I threw it by Steiny. Do you think that rattles the cage for Jawan and the Niners now that they know it's official, then maybe something gets done sooner than later because of now they got clarity that Rob, then they knew he was going to get suspended. But I'm wondering, will we know something sooner than later now?
Well, I think that the Niners know a lot about what's going on behind the scenes at the wide receiver position that we still, with this final roster, that we've not been let in on what's going on yet. Because if you look at what their final roster just showed, and just to update everybody, Robinson gets suspended for the 3, Brandon Ayuk goes on the reserve pup list. The 5 receivers they keep are Ricky Pearsall, Sky Moore, Jawan Jennings, Jacob Cowing, and Jordan Watkins. Cowing, I have no doubt, is going to get moved to IR with a designation to return. So he is not going to be available for at least the first month. Watkins could be available, but like by week 2 or 3, and he's a rookie.
So that's IR.
Like, he's never played before. Like, he'll be on the roster. So this either tells me one of two things, and maybe both. They either feel really good about where the Jennings situation is, or they're about to go out on the market and grab some of these guys who just got let go today. Hunter Renfrow, DeAndre Deontay Johnson, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, many more. These guys
Robert
all got
Woods
released
Jr.,
today.
If you're into that.
The wide receiver list has a lot of work left to be done, man, even though the final roster just got announced.
And I'll say this to that, Willard. Hey, those guys, they can play. They're in the league. But Jawan, he's let you know you can count on him on big downs, not just regular season games, playoff games, Super Bowls. I just got to believe they come up with something to keep him in the uniform.
You would think, but if that something is a lot more money,
yeah.
And I hate to kind of side with Steiny ever.
No, as, I kind of agree with him on that.
As kind of a general rule, yeah. The idea, and I was thinking about this because
today,
when we talk about Brock Purdy, and what's the phrase that everyone wants to use to denigrate him? It's system quarterback. Why can't Jawan Jennings be a system wide receiver? And Steiny made the point about running back where it's been Wilson and Breida and Mostert, and it's been a who's who of running backs before CMC, so why don't we look at the same thing with players like Jawan Jennings, who isn't he ostensibly a system-wide receiver?
Well, Dibs, his hands are not the system. He's shown he can go up and make tough catches in traffic, so I would just say that's the difference, is he's shown an ability to make the tough catches in the tough situations.
All these things are shared. That's why I've been a Brock Purdy fan for so long. Like I heard earlier, Steiny, when you were saying, I wonder if Kyle sits there and thinks almost like, hey, Jawan, I made you. Like you put up those yards because of my system. And even if that were true, first of all, I know Kyle's arrogant. I don't think he's that arrogant. but like, even if he were to think that, too bad. You're running a business where you need to pay your employees who produce for you.
Wow.
And he, like Jawan, like that's how this works. He has to get some credit because not every receiver has been able to go out there and do that. In fact, they've used high-level draft picks on receivers who have completely busted and not even been able to stay on teams, let alone go get 1,000 yards in an NFL season. So, sure, the Niners system is good for offensive players, but when you do well in it, you have to be valued and rewarded, I believe.
I also think that if you're the 49ers, you can't get caught up into making a decision for the first four games of the season, as much as they might be important. And I think you've got to try to figure out what you may be week 10. And if week 10, Ayuk is there, and week 10, Pearsall's there, and week 10's Robinson's there, and I got to tell you, I think they like Watkins.
They do.
Like, then you'd be really paying Jennings for four or five games of being a number one or two.
I agree with you. I was thinking about this earlier. What would you guys say? Let's say everything goes great. Okay? Jennings is back for week one.
All right.
Ayuk is ready for week six. Robinson is ready for week four. Cowing is ready to come off IR. Watkins is healthy. Pearsall is healthy. Sky Moore is healthy. Usually the Niners only keep five or six wide receivers. We think of all seven of those guys as having locked roster spots. What do you do? Who are you keeping?
Well, I don't know enough to know. Is Robinson better than Jennings?
I would say yes to me.
I would say probably not, based on Jennings last year, number one, according to Pro Football Focus, in blocking, run blocking as a receiver. I don't know how DeMarcus Robinson is as a blocker, but
eight touchdowns, Dibs.
But, I mean, they're both locked in, right? I mean, that was a free agent signing that the Niners really wanted in Robinson.
Right.
Jennings is coming off of a great year. Like, I don't see either one of those guys being cut or something midseason. Definitely not. They just gave up draft capital for Sky Moore. I mean, but they did.
Yeah.
Pearsall and Ayuk are first-round draft picks. Watkins, they love. Cowing is a piece of that. Like, what do you do?
Maybe they're doing it right now, no doubt, Dibs.
Well, I think Robinson's a guy who would be very tradable. If you get into a spot where all those guys are healthy and Ayuk looks like he's going to be able to contribute, you're going to play Pearsall, and I think you're going to play Jennings. And then, as we talk a lot about, Steiny, with the personnel groupings, the Niners almost never go to four wides. They go to three wides about half the time, which is low for the NFL. So if you look at that third guy, if it's Ayuk and Jennings and Pearsall, well, then you've got Robinson as injury insurance, and Sky Moore's a guy, and I know you gave up draft capital.
A little bit.
I mean, sure.
But you did.
You did. But I don't think that marries you to Sky Moore for very long.
And no.
I think they picked up the majority of his contract, too.
The Chiefs?
I thought so. I might have had that wrong.
Yeah,
he doesn't make a whole lot. Right.
Yeah, he doesn't make a whole lot. By the way, Steiny, we do have an update.
Okay.
And I say it directed at you because you so kindly made it sound like this was just going to be this awful event out here at Thrive where I'm going to be basically poo-pooing everybody's picks
Tell them how they should have drafted.
Well, I almost texted you because I'm like, the draft's not happening until after our show.
Okay.
And then we got an update, and I was wrong.
Oh.
The draft is happening. Like, I don't know who these 14 people are who aren't working at 4 o'clock on a Tuesday, but they're all going to be here, apparently. And the draft is happening 4 to 6 p.m., so we will have some live reaction of how the draft will go and what we think about it, and all of that is going to be happening right off to our right. We're upstairs on that platform at Splash, which is so beautiful, like 1,000 TVs looking at us. And so that is actually going to be happening during the second half of our show today.
That is exciting.
Good to know. And Monitor Genty of the Raiders. I like him.
We know he's not.
I'm thinking it's picking him first.
First?
Yeah.
I mean, that's aggressive.
No. I mean, if I have like a middle first round pick,
okay.
He's there, not the number one pick.
Yeah, 16 teams in our league. I don't know if you guys have been fully.
That's the NFL.
Well,
Ken just jumped in and said 14 dibs during our show.
I happen to be really close, both emotionally and physically, to the commissioner of the 95.7 The Lame League, which it's time to change the name.
I'm with you, dibs.
We are dominating the market. And you're going to still pin us
Talk
with that.
Talk to him, Dibs.
That's
95.7 The Fame.
Look at Will. I like it.
Now.
But Lucas told me yesterday we're going 16. 16? Why? Is that true, Lucas?
Wow. We are going 16.
Wow.
It's official.
Joe Montana.
Locked in.
Hey, I got to say this.
Steiny,
That's another level.
Do your research.
Oh, boy.
By round 7, you're going to be picking dudes named Ethan that you've never heard of. It's going to be awesome.
Hey, I need your twos help real quick. I got to tell them about what happened on our show.
I don't remember.
So, in the Bay right now, it's high alert. The Giants are hemorrhaging. It's cut down day. Kuminga. Ken, sitting in for Evan today, plays the breaking news sounder. I'm like, shook. Kelce and Taylor Swift are getting married. He played the breaking news sounder for that.
You're going to love this, Goo. And I know this is not our demo, but you'll love this, okay? When did that break? Like 10:30 this morning?
Somewhere.
All right. So I open up my laptop for the first time, and I see the news. Now, I have a 16-year-old daughter who's supposed to be in, like, math class or something. But I'll text her because I'm not good about that.
Yeah.
So all I said to her was, I assume you've heard. And I assumed that she would either say, no, what? I'm at school. Or she would sort of be like, I think I know what you're talking about. There was no question in her mind what I was referring to. She just texted back, yes. That's it. I've heard. It was as if the president had,
she's in math class. We're doing a sports show thinking Kuminga and broke. What happened?
It's this is big news, Goo.
Hey, Dibs, is it Taylor Kelce Swift or Taylor Swift Kelce?
It's just Taylor Swift.
Thank you.
You don't need to. You know, Guru, as a recently married man, not as recently as my partner, and, you know, Christy, the lovely Christy, became Christy Willard.
Well, she did on Instagram. She has not had a chance to get on the county.
It's arduous now.
Yeah, she hasn't gotten there
yet. My wife chose to go by Supper Dibley, and, you know, you have a choice. You can either hyphenate, or she takes your name, or you take her name. Sometimes the husband will just change his name to the wife's name and go that route. So my first marriage
Crow Rose.
Thank you. I mean, my first marriage was like, your name is your name, my name is my name. Cool.
Right.
So every time you get to approach it differently, for me, the hyphenation sensation has always been one that I didn't want to go down the road.
All right.
Pick a lane.
Looking good.
All right, I'll leave you with this one, but you got to let me walk it off.
Oh, I don't like that.
Okay. Boy.
So speaking of names and what names you take and what names you don't take. So my oldest daughter recently got married.
Okay. Congrats.
And there were three families involved. Her mom, my daughter's mom's name's Clark. My last name's Steinmetz. And the fiance's name, last name is Lake. So what they did is they've changed their last name to Larkin because it has two letters of each of our three last names. L.A. for Lake.
Yeah.
R.K. for Clark. I.N. Steinmetz.
So you got to go pay extra for
pretty
that,
good.
Right? Yeah, you got to go pay
That's
for that.
That's pretty good, huh?
It's really good. It just doubles the legwork to get all the names changed, but
for
love
them,
will lead them
chicken.
Through for sure.
For sure. All right, guys. Well, bring
Have
us home.
I might pull up. I might pull up out there.
You should.
On 95.
Wait a minute. Do you mean that?
Yeah. No, seriously. I just study. I got this Valkyrie jersey. I'm ready. I'm ready in the street.
If you do, will you bring ours?
Hold on. You guys got some too?
I mean, I assume they didn't just bring them to you. We're the ones who lead into the game for quiet
hours. I'm going to be my study. I thought it was just us to you, too, man.
It's way, Steph can call you that.
I got
to
go.
If they only brought them to you, I'm going to be pissed. Okay?
Oh, my goodness.
We have them.
Okay, thank you.
Yes,
so grab it. Come see us, girl.
Seriously.
All right.
We're going to get in trouble.
Why?
If they didn't get one.
Oh, okay.
On 95.7.
I love you.